And after this very, very powerful meeting that we've had today, I believe there's a thrust and an emphasis for the Lord to change the atmosphere for these things that are dear to His heart. Nigel's also got something, an appeal for you.
Morning all. As you all know that we've been going up to Monzi, it is a hugely water-stressed area, so I'd like to make an appeal for water, whether it's your 2-liter milk bottles or Coke bottles or 5-liter bottles. Please bring them and drop them off near the entrance of the church there. I'll pop in periodically during the week and pick it up, but I'd like to go up in 3 weeks' time. Last weekend we took up 650 liters. There's the orphanage, there's the church, and then there's three creches. And just the one creche, they ration to 40 liters a day between 70 children, and that's got to do with the feeding, the washing of utensils, etc., etc. So I'd like to make an appeal. Get involved. And then depending on how much water comes in, obviously we need some transport to go up there. So probably next weekend we'll feed back and let you know. But 3 weeks' time, if you want to know more, come chat to me afterwards and I'll happily share where we are. Thanks.
I really believe this is an awesome moment in the church right now. It's amazing what's been happening here. And personally, what's been happening to me this last week, we were up in the Berg, and when you're my age, don't go jumping on a trampoline to impress your little grandson because you get burns. And you've got to pray before you do these things, and you've got to get wisdom before you do these things. But seriousness, I really had an encounter deep in my heart with Dad. You know, the songs we sang this morning were just... Guys, I don't think you fully understand the enormity of the presence that is in your heart and that is here right now and what God wants to do. When Dom said over there that he believes God is calling. Now, this morning when I woke up and I went to read, I read to meditate, the Lord said, I didn't give you all that to come and just to do nothing about it and just be blessed in yourself. And this morning I believe there's a calling on people here. And the importance of what I'm going to say here will be seen in the future. I believe prophetically in your heart, if this is what I say, what I'm going to spill out to you now, if this is in your heart, you need to come here so I can commission you as the Lord commissioned me 43 years ago to be a watchman in the house of Israel. I found it amazing. I didn't know they'd be speaking about prayer and projects. But this is a special project. This is a project that's going to enhance the church, the leadership of this church, and everything. Now, what I felt deep in my heart, and in what I've gone through, is that Steve and Janet need to be prayed for every single day. Now, I can give you testimonies and after testimony after testimony of churches that had a prayer thing, or a prayer meeting, or a prayer strategy to pray for the senior pastor and his wife and also the family. What I heard last week was in my heart all the time. And I just went to Dad, and these are the things that unraveled. And Dom said his word was, yeah, I believe was a confirmation of what we need to do. Now, I want you to just be quiet, you know, in this time, this awesome time now. And if you feel that God has called you, listen to me, God has called you specifically to pray for Steve and Janet and family. Just bow your head. I don't want to get into the religious thing. Just quieten your heart there and just hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Just give it a couple of seconds. Just think it through what I've said. You see, God has called you before the foundation of the world. God has ordained and put something into your heart regarding this before the foundation of the world. And God wants you to stand up now, and God wants you to take hold of the burden of praying for the situation. And for the church and Steve and the leadership here, but specifically Steve, if that dropped into your heart and you feel that was from God, would you put your hand up now? Would you be brave enough to put your hand up now? Thank you. Would all those people with your hands, would you come forward here, please? Would you come forward here, please? And would you, after the meeting, please give me a bit of paper with your name, your cell phone number, and your email address. And would you stand in a circle? Would you just stand in a circle and join hands? In a circle and join hands. Just come into the circle and join hands. James, will you help me, please? Do you come and... we're going to pray now, and then James and I are just going to come and release this into your heart. Now, we'll do that, and then I'll explain why afterwards. Father, we thank you that we've been able to stand together this morning. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that's moving here. We thank you for your presence that is just rolling in and rolling in and rolling in like a cloud this morning. And you see every heart that has stood up before you now. We stood up before this congregation and said, yes, we will pray for Steve. Yes, we'll pray for this church. Yes, we'll pray for the leadership. Yes, we'll pray for every situation. Lord, I just pray right now that you will embolden them to stand up and to pull down the strongholds, the attacks that come in the mighty name of Jesus. Right now, Lord, as we commission them to go, Lord, I just pray that a new presence, a new whatever, Lord, that you need, just come upon them right now. We just know that presence is just so real. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, I release you. I commission you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, and gently take hold of that. It's Father who's doing this to you now. Gently take hold of what He has for you. Gently take hold. Gently, gently, gently. Yes, gently, gently, gently. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Father. Commission them in Jesus' name, in the powerful and mighty name of Jesus Christ. Jesus' name. Just receive that commission. Receive that commission. Receive that commission. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, to these people standing here, from this moment on, always conscious of what needs to be prayed for, always listening in the spiritual realm. It's not some spooky spiritual thing, this. Hear my heart. This is getting out there and fighting the good fight of faith. You are watchmen on the wall, and you need to hear what is happening. You need to pray about it, and you need to stand with it. And you will see from this moment on, as you stand together and pray, things will change. And just send me your name, send me your emails, and we'll keep in touch, and I'll let you know if there's anything I'm conscious of that needs to happen, and you can feed back to me. How's that? Amen. Bless you guys. Thank you for standing up.
Maybe you can't make that Thursday prayer meeting for whatever reason, Tuesday. But here's something you can do. On Tuesday at 5:30, if you can't make it, you can still be praying. You can still be praying. Still standing in that gap. Okay, so maybe it's physically not possible to actually be there. But because you're not there, doesn't mean you can't pray. That is a good work Nigel and the family and the team are doing. Let me say this. Good works change the lives of people. It's not just something you do. It actually has an impact on the life of people, and that will change their lives. So we need to get water and whatever other supplies that we can possibly get together. We need to get that stuff up there. Support Nigel and the team. but also pray. If you can't make it on Tuesday at 5:30, wherever you are, spend some time in prayer. Just bringing that home to the Lord. What's it called again, Naj? Monzi. Monzi. Tuesdays, 5:30, Monzi. That's what we're praying for. And a whole bunch of other stuff too. But Monzi, amen. All right, James is coming to minister today. Let's give him a welcome. Amen.
Front row can hear me. How are we good? Morning. How are we all doing? Woo, how was that? That was a beautiful service, eh? Sweet. That was something special. I don't know, like, I don't always say that, but that really was sweet and special this morning, hey? If I could ask the offering team just to come forward, we're going to take up the offering right now. And just some news on the Bond Buster. We're getting there. We're approaching, crossing over the 800,000 Rand mark into the 700,000 Rand. So we're getting closer and closer. And just a wonderful thing, just before you guys go, just a wonderful thing. We had a donation come through from Jubilee Church in Sydney, Australia. Finney and Izzy Dijasini donated 500 Aussie dollars. So that's 5,500 Rand. And they're in the middle of buying their first building. They've been renting for 20 years. I mean, how blessed are we to own a building and only owe 780,000 Rand on it? And they've been renting their building for 20 years. So they're buying their first building, and it's something in the region, if you work it out, of 20 million Rand. So you can imagine how 500 Aussie dollars is like, they're in a position where they just don't have extra capital to spare. So what a blessing that is. So that's come through. And just to say, if you have any contributions to the Bond Buster that you bring on a Sunday, please just mark it specifically so that our accounting team can allocate it into the right account. Okay. Just before you guys go, so don't go anywhere there, I'm going to ask the whole church. I don't know if Ryan, did you get my message? Can you put that up? What I'd like to do is I'd like to take a video of us all saying thank you to Jubilee Church. Do you think we can do that? So let's get ready to do that. Is it up on the screen yet? Did you get it? Yeah, you didn't get it. Okay. Right. So I'm going to ask you to repeat this, okay? So can you guys remember this? Thank you. I don't know if you can type this up quickly, Ryan. Thank, and try to remember it, everyone else. Thank you, Izzy, Finney, and everyone at Jubilee Church. Love from Highway. Can you remember that? I will. Actually, I can't because I'm filming it. Thank you, Izzy, Finney, and everyone at Jubilee Church. Love from Highway. Say one more time. Thank you, Izzy, Finney, and everyone at Jubilee Church. Love from Highway. Okay, so I'm going to get my video here. Did you get it in time, brother? He's got it. Okay, put that up. You can read there. There we go. And I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, and then after 3, you guys go for it. Eh? 1, 2, 3, and go. Okay, so here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Thank you, Izzy, Finney, and everyone.
Woo! Awesome. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Ryan. Good job there, everyone. Thanks. Now you guys can go. Bless you guys as you do that. Right. We did it, eh? We made it through. Awesome. This month, what are we? 17th of April. So this month, if you include the 5,500 Rand of the 500, the 500 Aussie dollars is 5,500 Rand, we have had a total of 15,800 Rand come in. So thank you, and just keep supporting. Let's knock that bond. Amen. Okay, this morning I want to share with you a word entitled How to Live a Fulfilling Kingdom Life. And obviously we all know that our theme scripture for this series that we're going through and this season that we're in is Ephesians 2 verse 10. So let's get straight into it. And I've highlighted different parts of it because we're going to break this down this morning. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So let's break this down. You know, it's just so typical familiarity. The Bible actually says, well, I need to confirm that actually, because I always assume. But I'm pretty sure it says in Proverbs that familiarity breeds contempt. Or is that just a good saying? I need to confirm that. But it is a good saying nonetheless. Familiarity breeds contempt, right? You just hear the same thing over and over again and it goes over your head. Like Darren Maul says, my boss on weekday mornings, when he tells a joke and someone misses it, he says it's like a frisbee over a fat Labrador's head. Sometimes a verse can do the same thing. We hear it over and over again and it just goes straight over our heads. So what I want to do with this is I want to break it down and open it up. Like a seed. We all know the verse that says that the kingdom of God is like a seed which a man planted in a field. And if you take a little seed, it's amazing to think that a little seed can become a giant tree. So we've got this little verse, and if you can imagine this morning this little verse, which you think is just a little seed, but I want to open it up, and we're going to pull amazing fruit, an incredible shade, and incredible things out of this little seed. Okay, so we're going to delve into the Greek of each word so that we can understand what Paul was writing about. So the first word is workmanship, which in the Greek is poema. And another way of translating the word poema is achievement. And incredibly, poema is actually where the Latin word poem comes from, which is where we get the English word poem. We are God's poem. And some translations say we are God's achievement. What an awesome thought that we are God's achievement. He is proud of us, church. The next word is for, and we need... The reason why I wanted to translate this correctly is because we need to understand what he is directing, where he is directing us here. So the word for is the word epi, which I think Anne can help me. Is that a pronoun? For. A preposition. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. Epi is a preposition. So it is presupposing what's about to come. So we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus, upon which, or before, or positioned, right? We're going to have a look at that. The next word that we want to interpret is good. And the Greek word used by Paul there is agathos, which means of good nature. Now this is wonderful. I was so impressed to see how descriptive and how many different translations there are of the word good here. Agathos can be translated as good-natured, right? So our works, they're not just good, they're good-natured, they are of good constitution, they're useful, they are pleasant, they're agreeable, they're joyful, they're happy works, right? And we're going to look at this morning. If you feel like you are doing the works of God, but you are not happy, then you are not doing the works that God created you for. And that's why this morning was so interesting, where Bill called up some intercessors this morning. Some of you may go, that's not me. But you might have gone, hey, but you know what? Intercession's the right thing to do. So you came forward anyway, right? But it's so important to understand that every person is called to a different thing. And for some people, intercession might be difficult. I was trying to find a diplomatic word there. For some people, intercession just might be difficult. They pray one line and that's it. They don't know what else to pray after that. You know? And so, for other people, intercession might be such a happy and joyful thing. And that's why I was so pleased to see that this word agathos can be translated as joyful, happy work. Excellent. Distinguished. We're not sloppy Joes here. We produce excellent work. I mean, this morning's worship, wasn't that a level of excellence that we can be proud of? Absolutely awesome. And then, I mustn't get ahead of myself here. So the next word is works, which is the Greek word ergon, which can be translated as business, employment, that which anyone is occupied, so anything that you're doing, one which undertakes to do, enterprise, undertaking, any product, whatever, anything accomplished by hand, art, industry, or mind, an act, a deed, something done. The idea of working is emphasized in opposed to that which is less than work. The next word is prepared beforehand. So in our English, it's two words, prepared beforehand, but the Greek is actually one word, and it is a proetoimazio. You can see why the English decided to translate that into two words. The Greeks had this long word, proetoimazo, which means to prepare beforehand, to make ready. I like that, because a lot of Calvinists and predestination believing Calvinists will take this verse and say, you see, everything that you do in your life has already been planned by God, which would take away the very essence of humanity, which is free will, right? So when we look at these verses, we've got to go further, and we see that the Greek word proetoimazo means to make ready beforehand. So it's as if though God made our works ready. They're ready for us, but we have to choose to go get them. And the final word we're looking at is that we should walk in them. The Greek word is peripateo, which means basically to walk. But have a look at some of the others. To make one's way, to progress, to make due use of opportunities. How about the Hebrew for just to live? How about that one? To regulate one's life, how you conduct yourself, and how you pass your life, what you do with your life. So out of these words, I've got 8 points for us this morning. And I've translated, using those various translations, I've put together the James Preston version of Ephesians 2 verse 10, right? I was thinking about it one day if I make a translation of the Bible. I promise you, I was thinking this. What would I call it? Because John Darby called his translation the Darby translation. Wycliffe called his translation the Wycliffe version. But Eugene Peterson, one guy, called his the Message. How did he trademark the Message? Lucky guy, that one's taken. So I was thinking about it. I wonder, one day when I'm like older and my kids have had kids and they've moved out the house and I have more time on my hands, I was thinking, if I ever do a translation, what would I call it? Anyway, side notes here, right? So a side note, right? Just because one person goes and makes a translation of the Greek doesn't mean that's authoritative, of course. So we don't take the Message and be like, wow, that's what the Bible says. There's many parts of the Message. I actually looked at the Message of Ephesians 2:10. I was like, nah, Eugene Peterson got this one wrong. But Eugene Peterson was trying to convey the whole passage, right? But so when studying Scripture, we have to study the authoritative versions, which are specifically the King James, New King James, English Standard Version, the New American Standard Version. Because these were translated by a committee, a group of people who could wrestle it out and say, look, this Greek word means this, and actually, no, you say that, but no, it's this. And so there's a consensus. You can't just have one person. That's the difference between good theology and religion. Religion always has one person at the top. Good theology has a group of people who come together as a consensus. You understand? That's really important. That's why no one person on planet Earth has perfect theology. You know that? Not Joseph Prince, not Bill Johnson. No one person. Because God designed it in a way that we need each other. Isn't that awesome? So I just thought I'd throw that in there in case you think, yo, what are you going to do, like start your own religion one day? No. I just want to create a version of the Bible that is my flavor that people would be blessed by. But anyway, that's me just sharing one of my good works for the future. So here we go. My first verse translated. Here we go. For we are his achievement, his pride and joy, created in Christ Jesus, positioned for business, employment, or enterprising works, which are joyful to do, distinguished, excellent, useful, upright, and honorable to do. Works which God prepared for us beforehand, so that we would make use of opportunities that come our way and thus make our lives full and satisfying. Amen. Now, it's 20 past 10 and we can all go home. What? You guys know me too well, eh? I was trying to see, maybe the coffee bars would sneak out. The coffee bar ladies would sneak out and start the coffee, and they're like, nah, they know James too well. Okay, so let's try and get through all of these in 15 minutes. Let's see. Number one, we are God's pride and joy. Genesis 1:31 is the sixth day God made man. And when he made man, he stood back. The first 5 days he made everything and he said, it is good. But when he made man, he stepped back and he said, it is very good. We are God's pride and joy. And that is an incredible thing. And it's a humbling thing. Because how many of you know people, and there may well be people in this room, who actually prefer dogs and cats over humans, right? There are. I know a lot of people, they're like, you know what, the human race, I just can't. I can't anymore, you know? And I hear that. Why? Because we have free will and we are capable of doing atrocious things. But it's humbling when you think that the human race, we are God's pride and joy. Isn't that incredible? He made all these other things and he loves it and it's incredible. But it's like Michelangelo or Leonardo da Vinci made all these incredible pieces of art. But Michelangelo's pride and joy was the Sistine Chapel. Leonardo da Vinci's pride and joy was probably, I don't know, the moving helicopter or something, but everyone today says it's the Mona Lisa. It was just one of his average paintings. But Michelangelo's a better example. The Sistine Chapel today is the pinnacle of Michelangelo's work, and we are the pinnacle of God's work. And that's why grace is so important. We have to understand grace empowers you to know that you are great. You are amazing. And sure, we all have our wounds, and that's why humanity is so broken, because we live in a fallen world. There's so much messed up situations which have hurt us and broken us, which is why we need each other to help get us out of those wounds, out of that brokenness, so we can be the Sistine Chapel that we were designed to be. Amen? Secondly, we have been positioned to do kingdom work. So we take that translation of which God prepared in advance, right? The word for, remember the word for, epi, to position. We have been positioned by God. Isn't it incredible that God said, you know what, James and Kareem want to have a kid, and there is the beautiful kid in Kareem's womb, and now I am going to take this child, and I'm going to position her for this time. So it's a combination of free will. The mom and dad choose to have the kid, but God comes along and says, this child is going to be effective at this time, at this day and age. Right? It's an incredible thing. And you have been positioned by God to do things here in this life to impact this world. Matthew 13:33 is the story of the parable of the leaven, where a woman takes leaven and kneads it into the dough. And Jesus compares the kingdom of God to leaven being kneaded into dough. Friends, you have been taken by God and you have been kneaded into the world. Now, when you take leaven, yeast, whatever it is, and you knead it into dough, you can't break away. Think about this for a second. You can't break away the bread or the dough and say, where is the leaven? I actually don't know where it is. But without the leaven, that whole thing would be dead. It would be a flop. And you know what? sometimes I think the church has tried to be so conspicuous that we're standing on the side of the dough going, look, we're the leaven, ha ha ha, and the dough is flopped. We should be in there so making a difference that the world doesn't even know we're there, but without us, the world would not be where it is today. I mean, I honestly, I thank God for my iPhone. I kid you not. I often am, God, this thing is incredible. I have every song at my fingertips. I have the internet. I thank God for the internet. I thank God for electricity. I promise you, I thank God. Why? Because I promise you now, I believe, had it not been for the resurrection of Jesus and the people of God on this planet, it would never have opened up the minds of some of the greatest thinkers on planet Earth. I really believe that. Steve Jobs may not have been a Christian, but I believe had it not been for the thousands of years of enlightenment, which of course the enlightenment, which was a scientific humanistic movement, but I believe the enlightenment broke off and was a direct result of the Renaissance, which was a direct result of the Reformation. Martin Luther saw the scriptures, he broke away from the Catholic Church, and all of a sudden humanity was free. Some of the greatest philosophers were around at the same time as some of the greatest theologians. Saint Augustine, Paul, all these incredible writers were around at the same time as the philosophers. No coincidence. No coincidence. So I don't know, I hope I've made my point, but what I'm trying to say is you don't have to try to be this conspicuous, look at me, I'm a Christian. You need to get on with the fact that you've been designed by God and get in there and just be you. And I tell you what, you are laying platforms for the next iPhones and the next Elon Musks and the next Isaac Newtons, etc., etc. John 20:21, Jesus says to us, he commissions us, peace be with you, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. You have been commissioned by Jesus to go into the world and be the kingdom. Number three, these works could be in the business world as employees or enterprising ventures. I've got three examples for you. Firstly, Priscilla and Aquila. They were business people. In the book of Acts, go look them up. They were business people who were positioned by God. They weren't preachers. They weren't missionaries. Paul wrote such hectic things that when we think ministry, we think, oh my word, I've got to be like Paul and go get shipwrecked and flogged and beaten. But that is what Paul was positioned for, and that is what Paul was called to. Priscilla and Aquila, on the other hand, were called to business, and they were positioned by God to be a gateway for people like Paul to go into the nations. And so God is using business people more and more. Joseph, he was one of the greatest employees of all time. He was such a great employee, he eventually became the second greatest employee in the whole land. He started as a prisoner, became so good that the warden actually gave him responsibilities, and eventually he worked his way up because he was such a good employee. Church, I'm telling you now, if you simply take hold of someone like Joseph's life, you will be amazed at how far you get in your company. Because the favor of God is on you. Will you use it or will you resist it? God opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And I think Joseph was a little proud. And it was his pride that found him in the pit. And that humbled him and he realized. And then thirdly, David. I love the example of David because he is an example of an enterprising character. Have a look at this. One of my favorite verses, and I got to credit my brother Sviso for this one. I'll never forget one day, Sviso and I were chatting, and I was just, hey, Sviso, I've got this in my heart to do, man. I just don't know if it's, I don't know if it's the Lord's will. And he said to me, James, whatever is in your heart, go and do it, because your heart is God's heart. Whatever is in your heart, go and do it. And he was quoting 2 Samuel 7 verse 3, when David went to Nathan the prophet, the same situation. And David was saying to Nathan, I've got this, this project on my mind at the time, it was to build a temple. We know it as Solomon's temple. David's son Solomon built it. And he wanted to build this temple. And David's wrestling it out with Nathan. I don't know if I should. Is it right? Is it the will of God? And Nathan says, whatever is in your mind, David, go ahead and do it. For the Lord is with you. I love that. I love that. It reminds me of Psalm 37 verse 4. Which says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Two interpretations there. Number one, and both are true. Number one, the desires that you have in your heart have been placed there by God. You have desires in your heart. You want to do things. Why do I have this desire to go and start a business? Why do I have this desire to go to my boss and ask if I can start a prayer meeting? Or why do I have this desire to have kids? Whatever it is. These desires, if God is first in your heart, I promise you those desires have been placed there by God. And the other interpretation is this. So you have desires. When God is first, you're following Him as shepherd. When God is first in your heart, He is going to give you those desires you have. He's going to make opportunity for those desires to come true and come to pass. And like David, you might say, well, where is this temple? What's happening? David died. Now he's in heaven, and he saw from the other side of life, oh, wow, my son is fulfilling my desire. Isn't that awesome? Don't give up on your dreams, because the world will miss out. Not just you. It's not about you. You might die, yes. But the world will miss out if your dreams don't get fulfilled. So don't give up on them. Oh, you know, it's never going to happen. Well, who said you are the one to fulfill it? Maybe God just wanted to give you the dream. Whatever. Fourthly, these works are distinguishable, they're upright, and they're honorable. Many times these ideas, these desires that God gives His people are different and they're innovative. Wow, that came from left field. What happened there? This is different. Wow, this is interesting. Wow, never thought of it that way. But they're always righteous and they're always honorable. They're always things that help other people. They're always things that make things better. They're always things that you look back and go, wow, that is like godly. This is incredible. Fifthly, they are excellent and useful. So they're done with excellence. And as I've said, they always help people and they solve problems. So the key one there is that they're done with excellence. And it's finding a balance between the 10,000 hours theory of Malcolm Gladwell, which personally I understand, but I don't think it has to be as much as 10,000 hours. But it's a balance between honing your craft, getting better at your skill, and knowing who you really are. So, for instance, we come back to Steve Jobs, obviously a clear inspiration in my life. But Steve Jobs was the innovative thinker. Steve Wozniak, his business partner and college friend, was the genius computer engineer. So Steve Jobs would come up with the ideas, we've got to make it do this. And Steve Wozniak's going, no, but it's working. Look, it's and Steve Jobs is pushing him, saying, no, we can make it do this. No, we can do this. No, we can push it. And Steve Wozniak is the one who geniusly did that. And so when you find you fit your talent, you know what you do, and you need a team around you, or you need people alongside you who fit what they do. And so finding that balance, when you know what you're good at, it'll come naturally. And you do this thing, and excellence is a byproduct of doing what you were born to do. But at the same time, of course, the more you do it, the better you become. Sixth, God prepared an entire universe for us to be useful. Which, of course, is coming out of the point where it said that God prepared in advance for us beforehand. Right? I love this passage in Genesis 2:19, verse 20, where Adam was called to name all the animals. Let's read it. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called the living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the air and to every beast of the field. Now, what an incredible thing, and what a big job. But what a whole wide world that Adam had in front of him to go and name, to get busy with. And friends, the entire universe is ours. Not just the animals, but even more and beyond. God has created the entire universe for us to step into. The stuff of Stephen Hawking now is creating a nanoprobe that's going to be able to travel at the speed of light. Friends, I'm telling you, without the faith of Christianity on planet Earth, Stephen Hawking's ideas would never have been able to come to pass. I really believe that. People like Isaac Newton was a born-again believer, and he laid the foundation for people like Stephen Hawking. Of course, he's a humanistic atheist, but that doesn't matter. He's building on the foundation of what a Christian laid, and we as the church should now take their foundation to go, oh, thank you, atheist, and go beyond. We should. The entire universe is waiting for us to go and explore and step into that which God has designed us for. Number 7, we need to look for and make use of opportunities to do these works. So not only is it a case of, well, you see, whatever I do, whatever I'm doing right now, this is the will of God. No, but now you need to also look for opportunities. What? I won't say that. What? Okay. It's deleted off the system. It's not only a case of, well, you see, I'm in the will of God, and so my job as a school teacher or whatever, that's it. No, there's more. There's even more. Look for opportunities to be who God created you to be. And a little bit later on in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, therefore, be very careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. So what does he mean by be careful? He says, don't be unwise, but be wise. So what he means is, you need wisdom to look around. You need to live carefully, is what he's saying. Not carefully as in, oh my word, I might get shot, but live carefully as in be aware of opportunities. That's how you need to live. Making or taking advantage of every opportunity because the days are evil. Now, just a side note here to interpret Scripture with Scripture. I am convinced through Scripture that the world is getting better. I really am. I'm convinced of that. The world is not getting worse. The world is getting better, and facts of the human civilization, etc., etc., prove that. And so you look at that and go, yeah, you see the days are evil, brother, you've got to be careful. No, how about the fact that if we took advantage of every opportunity, the days would get less and less evil? So maybe what he's saying is, take advantage of every opportunity because the days are evil, and therefore when you do, the days will get less evil. Amen. When the church steps into who they have been created to be, the days will get less evil. Holy Spirit, please let that one land. And finally, doing these works will give our lives fulfillment and satisfaction. We know John 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and life abundant. He actually said in the full verse, of course it is, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and life abundant. When you find what God created you to do, when you find that pride, the pride and joy of who God created you to be, when you find that thing, who you are, what it is that you are, then my friend, you will get life and life abundant. And you might be doing a job that you don't like, but now you have purpose. And you see you're in a job you don't like, but inside you know I'm here for a purpose, I'm here for a reason, and God wants to make some changes around me, and I'm here for a reason. Philippians 4 verse 12, I love this one. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Just be content as a believer. You know what? I'm just so happy. I've got two kids, and I've got food in my cupboard. I have water in my taps. I am so thankful for what I have. You know what? I may not have as much money as I want, or I may not be living where I want, or there may be load shedding, or there may be water restrictions, or we're in a drought, but I'm content in who God made me to be. Amen. I'm really thinking about, let me start by saying this. I'd encourage you, church, to explore some self-awareness programs. So two great ones are firstly the Enneagram. Who's heard of the Enneagram? One person's heard of the Enneagram. I think there's 9 different segments of the Enneagram. It comes from around about the time of Jesus or just a little bit after, where I don't even know if he was a saint. He might have been a saint. He might have just been a philosopher, I'm not sure. But it's lasted thousands and thousands of years. It's one of the most accurate personality type programs. I'd encourage you to check it out. There's an app, I don't know if it's on Android, but I know it's on Apple. It's called Know Your Type. You answer a few questions, it's the most accurate thing. And I'll tell you why these things are good. Because when you know the kind of person you are, it'll help your relationships, because your spouses will know, oh, that's the kind of person that they are, now I know. It'll help your relationships, and it will help you know, what should I be doing for the rest of my life? Or what should I be doing right now? Or what should I do for the rest of my days? Or why don't I like this thing? Why do I like that? When you know the kind of person that you are, you'll be amazed at how much more effective you can be. So the Enneagram is one of my favorite. And then there's the other one called the Strengths Finder. Remember, Adam Bright has come and shared with us a few times on Saturday mornings, and he is an advocate of the Strengths Finder. I am as well. There's 34 different strengths, and the best part about Strengths Finder that I love, Marcus Buckingham, is the focus is on what you're good at and not what you're bad at. In the last 50 years, we as a society have become so hung up on trying to work on your weaknesses that people have missed out on what they're good at. And when you step into what you're good at and focus on those things, you can be even more effective. And so I'm really thinking about maybe doing some courses on Saturday mornings just to help us find out what we are good at, who we really are, and step into some of the, and explore some of the ways that we've been created. So look out for that. It may come, it may not. I have 2 kids and one of them is 6 weeks old, so bear with me. Let's end with this version of the scripture again. For we are his achievement, his pride and joy, created in Christ Jesus, positioned for business, employment, all enterprising works, which are joyful to do, distinguished, excellent, useful, upright, and honorable to do. Works which God prepared for us beforehand, so that we would make use of opportunities that come our way and thus make our lives full and satisfying. Let's stand and let's pray. Just before I pray, those of you may be wondering, where are Steve and Janet? They're up in Joburg at the moment, preaching at Central Park's church, Grant Floam, Grant and Lisa Floam's church in Johannesburg. Tonight, they're at Stuart and Jenny Agnew's church. Stuart and Jenny Agnew obviously coming down for our leaders' camp next weekend. Just want to say thank you so much to those who have contributed. Incredible response. We are about two people short of a full sponsorship. So if there's two more people out there who have just a little bit of extra finance, or you were blessed this week and you're looking to bless someone, there's two leaders who could really use a sponsorship for the leaders' camp next weekend. Dave Betts is going to be covering for us while the leaders are down the south coast. So please come along. Dave is going to be leading worship and preaching. So pray for him, intercessors, and get ready for a powerful, powerful service. So Steve and Janet, send their love and pray for them as well. But Lord, right now, we just want to thank you that this is such an exciting time to live. I am so excited about what is available for us. Never before have humans had so much opportunity at their fingertips. And Lord, we see so many challenges around us. Yes, overpopulation. Yes, drought. Yes, famine. Yes, disease. All these things around us. But Lord, would you stir up a people of God who would be the answers to those problems? Lord, I pray we would be able to stand on the shoulders of great men and women, and we would step into greatness that would change this world and usher in what heaven looks like on earth. Father, I pray, Lord, for even right now, where some of us are in jobs that we don't like, where some of us are grinding through 6 to 6 every single day, 6 days a week. Lord, I pray that you would help us find our joy in those situations, that we can be effective in even those situations. Like Joseph was effective in jail, may we be effective in any situation that we find ourselves in. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would come and you would stir us up to see that we as the people of God have been designed to change the world around us. We are your pride and joy, and we want to give you glory and honor and thanks and say, let us be your vessels. Amen. Amen. Amen, church. Have an awesome week. Bless you. Don't forget to check out our bookshop. And Dave Betts preaching next Sunday. It's going to be awesome. God bless.